When looking for the King of Podcasts, you're at the wrong channel.
Well, excuse me!
Looking for good ideas for life? You're far from good hands.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
If you think the listener is always right, you're far from the right place.
Out of order! Even in the future, nothing works!
Hosted by a Northeasterner by birth, but a rebel by choice.
Are you threatening me?
If you want a host that floats between love and madness,
and we know the night is always gonna be here anyway. Thinking of you's working up my appetite, looking forward to a little afternoon delight.
Then play on and listen to Crazy Train Radio.
All right, guys, listen to this blues riff and B. Watch me for the changes and try and keep up, okay?
Warning, creators of this game do understand the subject matter may be offensive to some, but they do honor the families and people that have been affected by these real life tragedies that these individuals have caused. Want to play a game?
Oh yeah!
Lover of true crime?
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, we got an interesting game for you to check out.
Wow.
With the mashup of influences such as horror movies, collecting cards, and RPGs.
What?
Led to giving birth to an incredible creation of this game, Killers the Card Game.
You are all my children now.
This game is a collectible trading card game featuring some of the most infamous killers with tidbits of trivia on the back of each card to help you learn some insight to each criminal.
Who the hell are you?
Let's not forget, during the game, cops will be chasing you and these criminals.
I'm a cop, you idiot!
However, check out their website listed through all social media today, which can be found under Killers the Card Game.
Am I on the internet?
I want to play a game.
This is Xander Golden, an indie horror lover, convention guest, actor producer of Massacre Academy and Macabre Mountain, and you are listening to Crazy Train Radio.
Hey folks, it's your least favorite host in the podcast world, Croc Jonathan Steele. And boy, do we have a good one for you today.
Alright, from New Jersey HorrorCon, we are here with Mr. Xander Goldman at the New Jersey HorrorCon. He's here promoting Macabre Mountain, which is Amazon, correct?
Macabre Mountain, you could say it however you want, is on Amazon Prime right yes. now. Soon will be on Tubi. I don't have an exact date, but it'll soon be on Tubi, I would hope within a month.
Nice. Well, obviously, in the movie, you heard her last week on an episode. Felissa Rose is part of the movie as well. And
of course. Well, we all love Felissa.
Yes. But we'll start there with the movie. And I guess it's good and bad, but from a performer and all that fun stuff, what is that like to have a... with all the extra options with Tubi, Amazon Prime, and Freezy, I think it's called. You know, you have all these different extra apps and stuff that people get on their TVs and all, which I guess leads to needing more content, but also Yeah, you know, it's a double-edged sword, I think. But what is it? What's the good and bad of that to be able to get your product out there?
Are you saying on Amazon and Tubi what's good and bad about it?
Yeah, just in general, because we have all these apps and there's just so much out there.
So I will say financially, Tubi is a lot better so far than Amazon. So Tubi, financially, to make money back for the movie is the key. I think it's also on, and I should be able to tell you this, I think it's also on Freebie.
Yeah.
Or something begins with an F, and it's not bringing any real income in. So, as a filmmaker trying to make the budget back, Tubi is my go-to right now.
Well, as a
on streaming, yeah. Okay.
Well, as a producer and creator, content creator, and all that fun stuff, what's the structure look like? And I don't need to know numbers. I'm not the IRS. I don't care. That's not my business.
Okay.
But I'm going with this as far as a question in terms of where people bitch about physical medium, but it used to be it goes to a movie would go to the theaters, then it would be on VHS beta, or then the DVD, then now Blu-rays and 4K. But, you know, there was a certain beaten path that, you know, movies would go. How's that look like now with the
So I can tell you what I'm doing. So we had the premiere. We actually had like two premieres. Well, actually three. So we had three showings we're calling premieres. One in New Jersey, one in Delaware, one in the state of Indiana. So at those showings, we would bring the physical media with us.
Yes.
The DVDs and the Blu-rays. So, looking at it financially, we try to make some of the movie back, doing these premieres, selling the physical media there. And then after that is kind of calmed down, then you can consider streaming. So, I'm not a big fan of distributors. I am going with FilmHub. And FilmHub is more an aggregator than a distributor. And they're pretty straightforward. They do not have any marketing costs or any hidden costs in any contracts. They are pretty straightforward. They do not do any marketing or any extras for you. They just do quality control. Once you pass their quality control, and that's just so the movie's ready so it can be sent off to mainly Amazon and Tubi. So when Amazon and Tubi get Macabre Mountain or Massacre Academy, my other movie, it's ready to go. It's not something that will not be viable to put on their platforms.
Now, I mentioned about the physical medium and the different beats that things would go. And there's been a lot of hubbub, I guess you would say, from the minority online. The vocal minority, I guess you would call it. You have physical medium here with you today, and like you said, at the premieres and everything else. What's your thoughts? Is physical medium really dying, or is it something that seems to be popular that people want?
So I consider it as an everyday thing. It is dying. Like, you don't have your DVDs and your Blu-rays that you would have every day. Just pop it in and watch it. It's more of a collectible. At these conventions, I bring it as people, it's like a memory. So it's a little collectible. I sell it to them, I sign it. If I have other cast members here, they'll sign it. Felissa Rose, you can go over to her table and, you know, get it signed by her. So it's more of a collectible and memory more than an everyday practical thing because of streaming. So it's like a thing where you go to the convention and it's like a good memory, see someone's autograph on there and you have a good story, and that's what I believe it is. As an everyday thing, it's dying.
Now, the other episode I taped before the show actually started on Friday with Tom Devlin, I saw you guys met and exchange info and stuff. Great guy.
Yes, I love Tom. He's very nice.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about the different campaigns like Indiegogo and, you know, GoFundMe, and people do for different film projects. And obviously, for your project, I saw you did an Indiegogo.
Yes, sir.
How important it, because obviously, like I said, the business has changed. How important was that, the crowdfunding, for to make your movies?
Very important. It's for me, it's almost a vital thing to have, because I want to have a certain budget and afford different things. So I take that budget, and it doesn't go in my pocket. Just to let everyone know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying who, but there's other people that run Indiegogo campaigns, and they put some of that money in their pocket. I put zero. Any Indiegogo campaign I've ever done, zero goes into my pocket, never will. Zero.
Every dime goes onto the product.
Every penny goes into the movie. So if you donate $100 or $10,000, all of it goes into the movie to make it better. Now, what could $10,000 do? That could get another actor. I'm not going to say who we were speaking 30 minutes ago here with some friends about a certain actor. Well, that certain actor is 10 grand a day. So that's what $10,000 would do, would get this actor in my movie for a day. That's just one example of what a $10,000 figure would do. Now, people are probably not going to all donate $10,000.
Yeah. But that's themselves. Just an example.
That's just one example of what the money would go towards. But lesser amounts, you could do more days on set. You could put better special effects in. You could do more kills. And there's a lot of expenses that people don't realize. Posters cost money. When I get posters designs, that all costs money.
Yeah.
Sound design costs money. Color grading costs money. The score of the movie. In Macabre Mountain, I have Paul Wiley, who did the Terrifier scores. He did my score.
Very talented guy.
Very nice guy. Very talented and very nice guy.
Yes.
I want him again. You know, he's very friendly and honest with me, but he has to make a living.
Yeah.
So I have to pay him.
Yeah.
And to get that level of quality for the score, I have to pay him his rate. So that's where the money goes. The money does not go into my pocket and never will.
Yeah, and that's not what I was accusing. I know most
of
the...
I'm just talking.
No, it's good that you explained that all the... any funding comes in, goes on...
For my movies. I know there's some other people, I don't know what they do with their money. Some of it goes in their pocket. None of it goes into mine, because my goal is not to make money off of the Indiegogo and individuals that donate towards that.
Yeah.
My goal is to make the best movie that I can with that money. And that's what I want.
Now, with the production side of things, or you come up with a concept for one of your movies and all, do you write to have a certain budget, or do you wait for the budget to come in to have a idea of what you're going to put out there script-wise and all that fun jazz? Does that make sense?
So I will just say what happened with Macabre Mountain. I found the locations first. So talking to a friend, I found the locations in West Virginia. So it was a haunted house. He had some property. His mother has a restaurant catering business, so that takes care of our meals. And we also had another filming location there. That's great. It was a nice place. We had a hotel that come about in town from another friend. So with Macabre Mountain, what came together is the locations and, you know, the hotel and the catering. That sort of is what was the first step in all of this. I knew a basic budget that would be needed, but I didn't have a set figure, if that answers your question. So the first step was locations.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for me.
That's kind of why I was talking with Tom the other day. If you don't have a location or certain fundamentals when you're putting together a movie, and whether it's independent or $50 million project, if you don't have the basic needs, your lodging, your locations, your, you know, just these different things people might not think about.
Yeah, so that was the, I guess, the most important thing for Macabre Mountain. Now, other important things, the beautiful, talented Felissa Rose is everything in the indie horror movie industry. So I
real
talked
champion
to her
of it too.
I've talked to her and she said that she would be in the movie. So that's very important from the beginning too, because that's what I wanted. I wanted her in the movie, and she helped me out more than I can describe. So from the beginning, her and locations, and if I had that, then the rest of it's easier, yeah. A lot easier.
Macabre Mountain, I don't want to spoil. We want people to watch, whether it's streaming or they buy a Blu-ray or whatever,
yes,
at a show. But the one question for it is, why should people watch this particular movie? Because, like I said, there's so much content out. But what would you say the selling point is for this particular film?
I'd say many selling points.
Okay.
But we'll try to talk about some of them. So we love Felissa. That's number one. Felissa's in a lot of things, but
she paid us to say that. I'm kidding. No. She's great.
So Felissa had a lot to do with it behind the scenes. So she acts in it, but also many, many things that she helped behind the scenes. So
yes,
Felissa put a lot of love that you will not see on the screen directly by her wonderful acting. It's a lot of things behind the scenes. So a lot of Felissa. We love her. I would say another thing is you get an authentic little town in West Virginia. Not a lot of movies are shot in West Virginia. I don't even know if the Wrong Turn movies were shot in West Virginia, but they were supposed to be there. So you get a location that not a lot of things are done in. So you get some mountains and some cool stuff. You also get a haunted house. That's a real live working haunted house in the movie that we shot it at. So that's a real thing. I would say there's other actors that did good performances. Robert Mukes, Dave Sheridan. Gotta check out
another
Dave Sheridan.
A couple guys there, you know.
Why you should watch it. Dave Sheridan. Dave Sheridan is a beautiful, talented actor in this industry. And I can take no credit of anything in the movie. He created that character. He basically created his lines. And he developed his own world when he's acting for that. And I got to give him much appreciation. I can't take too much credit for it, because he even came up with his own wardrobe. So you get a brilliant performance by someone that, you know, that was all them. So
I never interacted with Dave. I hear Dave's a great cat to deal with, so
of
that's
course,
good to hear.
Yes.
I have no first-hand experience, but hear nothing but wonderful things I got about him. Like I said, we're here at New Jersey Horror Con and in Edison, New Jersey. We are, I guess, last day of the show. But how important, because I know you said you were interacting with people, some of the other guests, and talking about other folks for potential future projects and such. How important are conventions to not only be with people who are involved with your projects that you've done, but also to have the different interactions to exchange numbers and such?
Yeah, so that's the main reason I'm here. I'm one of the people here that's probably not here to make any big financial gains. I'm not really worried about that. I love talking to people. I love talking to people at the New Jersey Horror Con shows. I should be here in August. So if anyone's going to be attending the show here, again, it's coming back to Edison in August. I'll be here. Come up and talk to me. But that's what I'm here for, is to talk to people, talk to other actors, talk to other producers, talk to other directors, and make those connections and have a great time that way. I'm not necessarily here to sell 100 DVDs or Blu-rays. I have them, and
yeah,
you know, I'd be very gracious if someone would buy one, but
yes,
that's not my goal to make so much money for these conventions. I'm just honored to be here and to talk with everyone.
But there is a business side to it, too, that we would like some DVDs and Blu-rays and all sold as well, too.
Well, of course.
Yeah, you know.
Of course. Of course,
but,
yeah.
But obviously, folks, check out the projects. We'll have links to everything if you want to check out Xander's stuff. Thank you, sir, for sitting
Thank
down
you.
For a few minutes.
I appreciate it.
Hey there, Friday fans. We know how much you enjoy the movies. Enjoy grabbing your Friday merchandise and interacting with the Friday family, whether it be at conventions or during our particular watch-alongs. Well, when you're looking to get yourself masks, why not check out our friends over at Camp Blood Customs out of New York State and order your specific custom mask from any of the films. All orders are made specifically. Your needs and wants are. Make sure you find Camp Blood Customs on Facebook, Instagram, and all over social media and order yours today.
This is Debbie Rochon, and you're listening to Crazy Train Radio.